Let's pray as we prepare to open up the scriptures. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'etzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, this week we begin reading in the fourth book of Moses, Bamidbar, and our Parsha. Our Torah reading is according to the name of the book, Parshat Bamidbar, which means the time in the wilderness. And when you think of wilderness, you don't have to think of like a desert, even though that's our common thought when we think about the Middle East and Israel, that part of the world. But the wilderness can be just an relatively uninhabited area, and it can be full of life and greenery and provision. And this is a book that's dedicated to what God was doing with the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now tonight I want to talk about redemption and the principle of substitution that is described in Numbers chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles with you, I am ready to congratulate you. Who is ready to receive congratulations? Congratulations to all of you who have your Bibles. Excellent. You know how to receive congratulations from me? Bring your Bibles when we're gathered together. The firstborn of Israel had a special calling. They were called to be priests of Israel. And many of us think about the redemption out of slavery as being accomplished when the children of Israel took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of their houses. And that is an essential part of the redemption, but there was another part as well. God was calling the firstborn of the children of Israel to function in a priestly way and to even become a ransom for all of Israel during the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn of Egypt. So while the Egyptian firstborn were dying, the children of Israel's firstborn were being dedicated to the Lord, and he was planning to use the firstborn to be the priests of Israel once Israel came out of Egypt. But that calling was actually forfeited when Israel worshiped the golden calf. And it was transferred from all of the firstborn of Israel to one tribe. Do you know the tribe that received it? The Levites. That's right. The calling of the firstborn was lost in one sense by the firstborn of Israel, but it wasn't lost to Israel, it was transferred. And the Levites became a substitute for the firstborn of Israel in a multiple of ways. The Levites, not the firstborn of Israel, were called to be the priestly tribe. And this principle of substitution is directly connected to redemption and to atonement, and it's addressed in this week's reading. Let's look at Numbers chapter 3, starting in verse 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead." Now that word "instead" is very important. Instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine because all the firstborn are mine. You see, the Lord is saying, I lay claim to all the firstborn males of the children of Israel, and they need to be redeemed. And I am taking the Levites as agents of redemption instead of taking the firstborn. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. So the Lord is saying, I purchased the firstborn of Israel. and they belong to me, but there's a problem, and that is they need to be redeemed so that they can live. What happened to the firstborn of Egypt is not what God wanted to happen to the firstborn of Israel. He intends to redeem all of Israel, and he makes a special claim on the firstborn. And in order to collect the ransom, if you will, or the redemption price for the firstborn of the children of Israel, God says, give to me the Levites. Now, I'm from the tribe of Levi, and so I take this pretty seriously. Now, in Numbers chapter 3, verse 41, it says, you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. Whenever God makes a statement and then he makes this other, he expresses this phrase, I am the Lord, he's saying, it's simply because of who I am. I declare this on the basis of my own identity, my sovereignty, and my authority as the ruler of the whole world. And he says, you shall take the Levites for me instead of. Say that with me, instead of. Instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel and the livestock of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel. Now, this is very important because it is presenting to us another aspect of redemption. And it tells us something, that all of Israel needs redemption, that the firstborn of Israel need redemption, and that God knows that he is willing to accept the Levites for the sake of redemption of Israel. Rabbi Hertz, J.H. Hertz, who was the late chief rabbi of the British Empire, not just of England, but of the whole British Empire, he authored a wonderful commentary on the five books of Moses. And he made a very simple observation about verses 40 and following. And we just read verse 41. He just had this one sentence that this describes the substitution of the Levites for the firstborn. Now, this is a very important idea, substitution. I want you to say that word with me, substitution. And every Messianic Jew needs to understand the principle of substitution because it's a foundational principle that's connected to redemption and atonement. And every Jew needs to understand the principle of substitution. That is why Hertz, just a classic rabbinic commentator, is saying this is about the substitution of the Levites. Now, a Messianic Jew especially needs to grasp these points because sometimes, how can I say this? Other rabbinic Jews will say to us that Jewish people don't believe in substitution and the atonement that comes through substitution and redemption that comes through substitution. And that will come up whenever we're talking about Yeshua being a sacrifice for our sins. And yet, it is right here in Numbers that we find out that God is keeping track of the need of Israel for a substitutionary atoning sacrifice. Now, the Levites aren't actually, I can say this with gladness, we are not sacrificed as a blood sacrifice, thank goodness, but we're taken to be a substitute and a ransom price, if you will. So it's important to not just know that Messianic Jews believe in the principle of substitution, but actually Rabbinic Judaism recognizes the principle of substitution connected to redemption and atonement. And the Torah and the prophets also clearly portray this. And the apostles clearly grasp the principle of substitution. And in a number of different ways, they taught that Yeshua's death was a substitution. Now, this is really foundational. That's why I want to cover it tonight, because we need to understand that when Yeshua became a substitution for us and the death that we deserve, there is a foundation in Torah and in the prophets for this. This is not something that the Baptists invented for Jesus, or that some Pentecostals said, you know, this is a good idea. This idea of a substitution connected to redemption was a foundational idea for the Jewish people. And guess whose idea it was? God's idea. And it was an idea that he had for the Jewish people when the Jewish people needed a substitute. When the firstborn, who were the original plan, could not fulfill their calling, God did not say, well, I guess that's the end of this. This whole thing of the Jewish people in Israel is not working out. He said, no, we have another plan. If the firstborn can't serve this way, the Levites will serve this way. And then you can understand that there became, over a long period of time, this recognition that the Levites couldn't fully perform the substitution that Israel needed. And God did not wash his hands of Israel and say, well, we have no solution. He accomplished something through his own son, Yeshua, that could not be accomplished fully through the Levites. The apostles grasped this, and I want to focus on some of the things that they said. But it's with all this in mind that we should be familiar with three basic words. And I want you to hear these words in English and in Hebrew. The first word in English is redeemer. Can you say that? Redeemer. And there are a few different versions of that in Hebrew. One is goel. Say that with me. Goel. Another one is gaal. There, you can hear the similarity to them, different forms from the same word. And then there's another word that's often translated into English as ransom. Say that, ransom. And the root Hebrew word that I want you to remember is pada, pada. Say that with me, pada. And then there's another word that is translated ransom from the Hebrew, but often we think of it differently as atonement, and it is Kippur. How many of you have heard that word before? Kippur, Yom Kippur. We often think of it as the Day of Atonement, but you could also say it's the Day of the Ransom too. So Kippur has a double meaning, ransom and atonement. Pada has basically a single meaning, ransom, and goel or gaal has a single meaning, redemption or redeemer. So those are three words that we're going to become more familiar with. Exodus chapter 30, verse 12, introduces to us a really important idea that when the children of Israel are being mustered and being counted for military service, that's when they take a census. There needs to be a ransom for the men who are counted. And there are a lot of different ideas about why that ransom needs to be taken. I'll tell you, my thinking is that when men go to war, they will have to do things that take other people's lives. In the defense of their own families and nation, they will have to, in many cases, take the life of another person. And they need redemption for that. They need protection for that. Even though the taking of life may be justified in such wars, there is still an impact that it has on the souls of men. And they need the power of God's redemption working on their behalf. And so it's in anticipation of that, that when a man is called up into service, that he stands before God, according to the custom that was given to Israel, he stands before God and he pays a ransom. And he says, I know I'm going to have to serve in this way and I need redemption. So Exodus 30, 12 says, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. And ransom here is based on the Hebrew word kippur. This is a variation of the Hebrew word kippur. You shall give a kippur. That's not the exact form in the Hebrew, but it's close enough for you tonight. Ransom. It often means an atoning sacrifice, and in this case, it means both a ransom and an atoning sacrifice. Now, this idea of ransom and redemption and ransom and atonement are connected in so many different ways. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, God asks this question, "Shall I ransom them, Israel, from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death?" That's a parallel. Ransom and redeem are words that are used as near synonyms to express a common idea. And then it says, "O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting?" And then in Jeremiah chapter 31, the same vocabulary is used. Now, in this case, the word ransom, "Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol?" Do you remember the other Hebrew word? Not kippur. Pada, that's what's used here. "And shall I redeem them?" It's a verb form of ga'al that is used here. Now in Jeremiah 31, verse 11, those same words are used again. Now why should Jeremiah 31 be an interesting chapter for all Messianic believers? Because of the new covenant. Because this is where the new covenant is first mentioned. Jeremiah 31, verse 11. "For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they." Ransom in this case is padah. Say that again. Padah. And redeem is ga'al. It's a form of ga'al. Say ga'al. That's good. I just want you to become familiar with this. Now, let's hear Yeshua's own words, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20, verse 28 has the same phrasing. When Paul was writing Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:6, he made one simple statement about Yeshua. He said, "Yeshua gave his life as a ransom to purchase freedom for everyone." And I like this translation that says, "This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time." Yeshua is the ransom. Paul writes Titus in Titus 2:14 and says, "Yeshua, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." You see, Yeshua himself is saying that he came as a ransom. The apostles were able to say, "Yeshua came as a ransom," and they were building on this idea that Israel needs to be ransomed. Needs a redemption price paid for her. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. "You were bought with a price." That's one way of translating it. Another way is, "You were purchased with a ransom and you were redeemed." Do you see how the apostles were so comfortable using the vocabulary of the Tanakh? And then in Ephesians 1:7, there are more but that we could go on, but for the sake of time, this is a very good sample. It speaks of Yeshua and it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now, I want to close with Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, which speaks about redemption from a whole other perspective. It describes angelic beings and the elders of Israel, the 24 elders of Israel who have great authority in the heavenly realm. And it says, they sang a new song. This is Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. They sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open its seals. For you were slain and you have redeemed us to Hashem by your blood. And you brought us together from every family and language and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests in service to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, I don't know the tune, but isn't it a marvelous thing that the elders of Israel stand in heavenly places and they sing to Yeshua the Messiah and they say, you're worthy because you were slain and you've redeemed us to Hashem by your blood. And you brought us together. And you've made us kings and priests in service to our God. Now that brings us sort of full circle back around to the original idea that we're looking at in this week's Torah portion, which is that there is a call to be a priest. And there is a call at Sinai, which had originally been intended for the firstborn of Israel. And think of this, how in so many ways the vocabulary of the firstborn is our vocabulary. Yeshua is the firstborn, right? Israel is the firstborn of all nations. And those who follow him, who follow Yeshua, are called to be the firstborn of the righteous as well. So there's a priestly function that was revealed at Sinai, but the firstborn of Israel disqualified themselves by worshiping the golden calf. And God made a substitute. And he substituted the Levites to perform that priestly function. And then, over time, God fulfilled in himself and through his son the perfect sacrifice. You see, even the children of Israel who were being, if you will, ransomed through the Levites needed a blood sacrifice. And that blood sacrifice could only work so well. And it needed a substitute. You see, the blood sacrifice was a substitute, an innocent life for a guilty life. But God did with the blood sacrifice like what he did with the firstborn. He gave a substitute. The Levites became the substitute for the firstborn, and Yeshua became the substitute for the blood sacrifices. Do you see that connection? And then in Revelation, it's sort of summed up, and it's the elders of Israel who are rejoicing before Messiah and speaking on behalf of all of faithful Israel and faithful from among the nations and saying, he's made us kings and priests, serving him in this world. What an incredible integration of redemption, of ransom, of atonement. All accomplished through substitutes. All of Israel needs redemption. Yeshua has become our ransom and our redemption, and he calls us into service as priests who will serve him and serve under our Messiah as we labor in the harvest for the redemption of Israel and the whole world. The picture starts in this week's Torah reading, but it keeps going and going until it takes us to the book of Revelation, where we get a glimpse from a heavenly perspective of what God is doing in this world and in the world to come. With this in mind, I just want to challenge you to dedicate yourselves to being priests and servants of the Lord. It requires, of course, a starting point, and that is the recognition of God's authority, the desire to serve Him on His terms, not some other terms, His ways, not some other ways. Not just knowing about God, but serving under Him and under His authority, and recognizing the need that each of us has for our own redemption, and saying to the Lord, thank you that you redeem me from my sins, from my slavery, and that you renew me for my calling to be your servant. I'm not disqualified. You have redeemed me. And instead of death, which is due to the firstborn and the unredeemed, I will have eternal life. I want to pray for you. Lord, thank you. We thank you that you are the Redeemer. We thank you, Lord, that you have taken a nation for yourself, and you have taken priests for yourself, and you have called us into this nation and into this priesthood to serve under your Son and under His authority. And we thank you for eternal life. We thank you that you didn't want to see us dead, you wanted to see us restored. And you recognized our need for redemption, and you paid the price for our redemption. Thank you, Lord, for my redemption. Thank you, Lord, for our redemption, which we could not accomplish on our own, but which you accomplished for us through the blood of your Son, Yeshua. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Stand together. Don't let anyone stand all by themselves. I love it when my bride is here and we can stand together. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.